Welcome to another episode of Bitch, I Ain't Scared, aka Fear Bias. I'm Rob the Scholar.
I'm Nate the Fool.
We are in mid-October. We're giving you three episodes this month. This is number two. We got some things that we want to talk about, some horrific stuff we did from our last episode. I hope you guys are having a spooktacular October so far.
Oh my gosh, halfway there. I can't believe it.
So crazy. Have your plans updated for Halloween?
No. Jared and I were discussing costumes, so need to like jump on that ASAP. I'm going to ride it out. I can't back out now and like try to change my costume idea because then I'll be a homicidal maniac.
What idea is it?
Howl from Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Because we just saw that and it was beautiful film. And I just, you know, I like
it. Inspiring. Y'all should do Dahmer and that black dude.
We're not. No. I'm good. And I'm sure there will be lots of people there. I'm sure somebody will think this is a cute couple's costume.
I know. Yeah.
No, thank you. But to all of you out there, I guess if you want to draw inspiration, maybe draw inspiration from something better.
Yeah, don't do Dahmer. That was a total joke. That is so bad. And that's just with this. Only in 2022, when this movie is made again, this is the time to mock it and just parade it everywhere and just make it forever. You know, like people are not going to forget about this one. You know, they forgot about all the previous stuff, but nobody's going to forget about this one because we have TikTok now. So yeah. These families and everything are going to be reminded of it forever. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan Murphy.
I mean, I guess the one cool thing you could do is if you wanted to look like how he does on the, whenever it comes up on Netflix and he has the weird yellow contact lenses, that's a look. That's about it.
Yeah.
But what about you?
I ain't doing that. Where am I going to go? I'm good.
I mean, I don't have anywhere scheduled to go exactly.
You have somebody to, you know, show off your costume to. You're doing a couples thing. Like, I don't have anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be chill and I'm going to watch my movies. I'm totally fine. Hopefully next year I'll be more in the spirit, but yeah.
Oh.
October and horror and all of that stuff can be every day if you want it to be. This month is no exception, of course. We've been out there seeing some of these movies that are in for one weekend, one week, one day. We're taking advantage of these special screenings. I'll mention by the time this comes out, I believe Terrifier 2 was granted a second weekend due to popular and fan demand. This is his time. He's been around forever, but now Art the Clown is officially among us, and y'all have to get used to it and just get on board. This shit is great. But it's also just this talk of everybody walking out of the theater and throwing up and all this. I'm like, didn't y'all watch part one? What is going on? Why are y'all going into this theater acting like y'all know what to expect? It's just insane that no one knows what this is and want to see a part two. I guess maybe out of curiosity, you know, let that horror flag, you know, fly. But it's like, did you not know what you were getting yourself into? It's just the weirdest concept. People have no concept of what, like, is happening. It's just hilarious.
He hasn't been in the theater before?
No. Terrifier was straight to video, and it was just a very independent underground thing. And again, he was part of a lot of short films and anthology shorts. And then he finally got his own movie. And then they went on a huge break, I think 2 or 3 years before this came out. And all of a sudden, these people were like, ooh, let me try. And then they like, I'm like, y'all don't know what y'all watching. Why were you interested in seeing this? It's just weird. But a lot of people are so curious now that everybody's puking and getting all crazy over this movie. And so it's getting another weekend and it's making some money. And we're definitely going to see more after this. They're not going to let this go. So good for them.
Would you recommend to people that they not skip the first movie at least?
So the first one is connected in a way that it takes place after the event. So there is a character from the first that is in this. It will not make sense. But it's not the end of the world if you don't watch it. This is you just getting familiarized with his style of killing, the tone of the film, and just knowing what to expect. But these are definitely connected films. So I recommend seeing the first one at least to get a taste of what to expect, because this one has been amped up. You thought the kills in the first one were brutal. Like, this one is insane. And yeah, so it's not for the faint of heart, apparently. But yeah, I thought it was good. The movie is long. They try and give you a story without giving you a story. It's insane. Like, some shit happens and you're like, I don't get it. But they gave... Okay, I will say this. So the woman in the film, she is getting so much praise as like the new Nancy. And I am the first to literally say that. I have not heard anybody else say this, but she is getting so much praise for her role, her acting, and just her character development. Everything about her just screams Final Girl, and she's just a strong character, and they put in the time to develop it, as this film is 2 hours and 18 minutes long.
Oh, yeah, that's a journey.
But I will say this. So it's Sienna, played by Lauren Lavera. Look her up. Get used to it. She is a horror icon right now. She's going developing to be. I found her performance to be great. And I found her character to be great. And I love that she is a final girl to be remembered. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. So do not sleep on this girl. She was pretty good. She was pretty good.
Well, maybe I'll watch it.
But it is gross. It is very, very gross.
I mean, just his face is troubling.
Yeah.
Speaking of performances that should be praised, at least for me, we've both seen Smile.
Yes.
And the lead actress, Sosie Bacon, maybe it's Bacon. I don't know. Who knows? But she was great. She's wonderful. I mean, I enjoyed following her. You know, she carried the story. But the person I want to highlight is Caitlin Stacey, who played Laura Weaver. We've all seen the trailer. You had no choice. You've seen it.
This is the woman in the poster, right?
This is the woman in the poster, and yeah. You know, she's the first one that's, you know, upset about something that she can't see. And that's basically how our story begins. I wasn't familiar with her before this. I had chatted with Michael a little bit the other day, and he said that she's Australian. Mm. These Aussies, you know, I had no idea. Didn't hear an outback inflection in any of those consonants.
She friend was... of mine just found out Toni Collette was Australian. I heard that accent through and through, and I was like, yep, you just have no idea sometimes.
It's so funny. I mean, besides Nicole, she's the only one who were like, yeah, we know, girl, you don't always cover it up. But anyway, Caitlin Stacey, I thought she did a great job. She basically just has the one scene, and it was great. It was heavy. So I, you know.
Can I get an Anne Hathaway Oscar, please? There ain't nothing wrong with that. Go ahead with your scene and tear it up.
Oh, right. She won for that.
She sure did win for that short ass scene. Yeah. Like, give her the Anne Hathaway Oscar. Okay.
Honestly. Yeah. It's like, it's impactful.
I mean, you got an aerial view of a woman in a gurney just going crazy, tied to the bed, and you can't even see her face, and she still gave that Oscar. Like, just twitching. Like, just do your thing. Nobody's going to see you because we're too high. She didn't care. She took care of it. And just that whole dynamic, all the, you know, the stages of denial and death was in those 5 minutes in front of this woman. Yeah. And, you know, I thought somebody was at her. Oh, so good. So good.
Yes.
I did happen to check out the Trick or Treat screening. First time. Yes, first time it's ever been theaters. This was a moment. It was very nice to see it on screen. Unfortunately, we did not have the crowd that I was hoping for, but it was a very intimate night. And I believe one of the editors might have been there, because the moment a certain name came up, everybody started clapping. And I was like, okay, we've got some royalty in here. But it was nice. I took someone who had never seen it before. And he was very appreciative on the storytelling and the twist and just how fun it was, because he's not such a huge horror fan. You know, some of the stuff was gross, but at the same time, there was nothing meant to be scary. So therefore, he was able to watch it and appreciate it for what it was. So, yeah, I would say it's a successful night, but it was really nice to see it in theaters.
Very good. Maybe next year I'll catch it. I just couldn't do it, but that's special. It's really special. Last but not least, it's the 25th anniversary. Well, not last but not least. We have other things to say, but 25th anniversary of Scream 2. Again, another, you know, smallish crowd. It wasn't like a packed theater. I think the evening show was, but we went in the afternoon. It was great. Was it a little misleading? Yes. I did think that those 10 minutes were going to be something I've never seen before. And not just the documentary you can get on the DVD and probably Blu-ray. But that's fine. It's totally fine. It's not a problem. But still, I had a great time. The group behind us, they were having a fantastic time. They were, you know, excited. And I loved it.
Yeah, it was really nice to see it on screen again, and it definitely gave me moments that I remember seeing it for the first time in theaters. I think this is my second viewing in the theater, as I've seen it plenty of times, but I don't think they've ever really shown a screening of this anywhere else. Maybe Scream once came back, but yeah. I don't think they ever did Scream 2, so it was nice to be able to experience this again. And at least you got to see the documentary. I missed it. Because I was out using the bathroom and whatever. And I'm like, oh, the 10 minutes was like before the movie. I didn't even expect that. So make sure to show up on time.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, you can see it. Just find somebody who has the DVD. It's on there.
I do have the DVD. Maybe I'll look at it. It was in the original trilogy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is it on that one? Okay. Then I can easily watch it.
No, I had a great time. Certain moments kind of hit a little differently, even though I know what's going to happen still. It's like very sad when, you know, Derek's so in love with her and it's like, oh man, this sucks.
He did not deserve that. He didn't deserve that at all. And he had two reasons, like plenty of time to get the hell out of Dodge, and he still chose to stick around. And his last words was about her. I'd have been like, my combination to my safe is this. This man literally was just like, I never would have hurt you. Oh, Jesus. Horrible.
Horrible. Speaking of other horrible relationships, we have seen the new Hellraiser. I decided to stay up late. I watched it. Also, like, don't stay up late and watch it, people. It's not something you want to, like, watch and then go to bed. But I'll preface this with, you know, I'm not a huge Hellraiser fan. I've seen, I think I saw, like, four of the previous installments. And that's
I only saw one.
I saw four of them. It's just a lot for me. I think the very first movie, it's heavy on the, you know, sexual...
It's very sadist. Not sadist. Yeah. I don't know if sadist is the right word, but it's very sadistic in that way of like,
you know, that was definitely not for me when I saw it, and I was pretty young, I think, when I saw it. I watched this one, and I actually really enjoyed it. I mean, I was impressed by the story. I was impressed by the performances of the Cenobites. I liked the makeup redesign. And it was a slower, well, and I think even the original was kind of like this, where it's not like immediate, like blood and guts everywhere. It's like a slow reveal of things. But even that first scene you don't see nothing, but you certainly hear things, and it's cringy. The main character, was she frustrating? Yeah. Was she going through something, though? Yeah, and I don't quite understand that journey. I don't know. I dug it. I'm not going to watch it ever again. These are not movies that I want to return to. But I thought they did a good job. That's just my two cents. You look like you have feelings.
Yeah, let's flip this coin over on these two cents and let's talk about the written on plan. I'm so glad that you love this. Well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say you love the movie, but I'm glad that you really enjoyed it, because my vibe was that, first of all, I was very curious about this movie and how they were going to update it. Were they going to go for it? Because we live in an era now where it's not so much about the blood and guts and it's about the story, and they concentrate more on a message rather than visuals. That at least that's what I've experienced lately with the horror genre, especially with these remakes. So I was like, are they going to go for it? And as much as a movie about torture can go, to me, compared to the original, those were some grown ass people in the original, and they dealt with some heavy adult issues. And this is no different, but at the same time, it was cleaner. So take, for instance, our lead. You know, this woman just looked like she just sweat a lot, but she wasn't dirty. She didn't have, like, drug spots on her arm or anything like that. She just looked sad, right? Let's go back to 2013 with Jane Levy playing our drugged-out Mia, who needs some rehabilitation and some rude awakening on drugs is a problem. Now, this woman looked strung the fuck out. And while she was going through some issues and some stuff, she was a very believable person that I wanted to see get better. And I also got a really good visual on how drugs are literally taking over her life. In this one, I am sorry, I did not believe this woman was that, like, victim to drugs. I wasn't really impressed by the acting, to be honest. And a lot of the decision making just came from a very, like, a person who just really just didn't give a shit. Whether she was on drugs or not, I just was not feeling her. I just wasn't. And I just think some of it just sounded a little, I don't know. It's hard for me to describe, but I just was not into it. The brother-sister dynamic I did love. And I understood her plight on trying to get him back, which is the reason why the story progressed. But as we were seeing how everyone became victim, like, all of that to me just was pushed and rushed a little bit. Without giving any spoilers, it's just the way that people needed to get killed. All of that could have been avoided. Every last death could have been avoided. I would say at least one couldn't, but it was still due to somebody being stupid. Like, this girl, every decision that she kept making was just like, why are you doing this? Like, why can't you just chill? And if you just chill for 2 seconds, this movie would be over. So for me, it's more of the writing. Go ahead.
And I can't reveal the spoiler for people, but there's also sort of like a roadblock as far as someone else who could be more helpful and they're not.
Yes. And I didn't
also a little like, I don't know. I kind of saw it coming.
Yeah.
But you know, so it's not completely her fault if she had.
No. And again, I would have to be very specific to get my point across. But yeah. My main thing is that these characters, again, just weren't fleshed out. Like there was just something missing in just so the rapport of the group and just me having to give a shit about this lead. I just didn't care. I just didn't care for her. The Cenobites were amazing. Love their design. I love the kills. And there was absolutely nothing in this movie that says that Pinhead needs to be male. If anything, I would say that Pinhead was non-binary. You couldn't see anything except for this facial structure that looked like a dude in the original. There was nothing that needed for this villain to be male. Yeah. I actually really enjoyed the performance of this new Pinhead. I loved her voice. I loved her stoic looks. She delivered those lines beautifully. I enjoyed her. So
yeah,
it's whatever. I hope that this doesn't continue. I'm thinking people have let it go by now, but if it's really still a thing, even after the movie's out, like, figure it out. Figure it out, because it's dumb. It's dumb.
No, Jamie Clayton, she did a great job.
She did.
Very, you know, yeah, it was very disturbing. I think the pace that they went at for me worked, especially the way that they introduced the Cenobites. Because even, like, you know, they don't shove Pinhead in your face.
No.
There's a, you have to wait for a little bit. I mean, and some decisions were not great, but overall, I did enjoy it. And maybe that is also, you know, for the other films, I wasn't a big fan. So I wasn't super invested in the original anything. So I think I was very open to this versus, like, enjoying the original Nightmare on Elm Street and then watching the new one and making it a little more difficult for me to accept certain things, you know?
Yes, yes. I will end this with, I was very appreciative that we had a gay couple.
Yeah.
And it was also played by gay actors. So yeah. I love that, because I was really unsure on the parts that they were going to play. And when we find out that they are also gay, but also a couple, I just thought that was beautiful. And those two, God bless them. That man, can they have kids? Oh my God, they were such the cutest couple.
Yeah, no, I think that the supporting cast, I think that they were well chosen. Last week, I have been consumed by the new series, The Midnight Club. The whole thing is out, 10 episodes on Netflix. I'm not finished yet, but I am almost there. And for any of you who are familiar with Mike Flanagan, I don't think you'll be disappointed. Now, this is a little different because it's based on someone else's book, Christopher Pike. But still, the tone that he has in, you know, Hill House, Bly Manor, Midnight Mass, it's all still there. He recently said he really hates jump scares. You know, I'm like, I can think of some, like, pretty great jump scares that you have in your work, sir, but I don't know.
This is insane for him to say, because did you hear the very first episode made the Guinness Book of Records?
Oh, yeah. And that's when, after he says, like, so I really hate jump scares. So yeah, there's
Guinness Book of Records for most jump scares in a single episode. I think the number was 31. Yeah. And were they all effective, or were they just defined as a jump scare, even though they were cheap?
Once you see it, you'll understand why.
Okay.
It happens. I mean, it's some of it's cheap, and they talk about it.
Okay. Very but good.
It's fun. I think you're going to enjoy it. It is, even though it's a story that focuses on one group of people, it's an anthology. It is kind of an anthology.
I love me some anthology. You know that.
So for those of you who don't know, we've talked about it a few times, but it's about a group of young people. They're teenagers who have basically come to hospice. They all have different cancers, things that have been diagnosed where they have not much hope. So they're just here to be comfortable. They have this group called the Midnight Club. I almost said society. Every night they get together and they tell stories. And also one of their main functions that they've agreed upon is, when one of us dies, we will try our hardest to reach out and communicate to let you know, like, I'm still here and there is something else over here on the other side.
Ooh.
Yes. And then, you know, there's other things, other subplots and things. But it's, I think it's very good. I think all the kids are great and well cast. We have Heather Langenkamp.
Oh, yes, I forgot. That's right.
Yes, she is our doctor at this facility. And there, if you've
does
seen
she send other, people to the quiet room like Homegirl did,
she puts them in the chokey. if you've seen the other Mike Flanagan movies, projects, you'll see some faces that you recognize here and there.
And I hear it's all part of the universe too. Like they're all connected and this is no, you know, exception.
So now there's something called the Flaniverse.
Yeah.
Don't know how I feel about that name. It makes me think of Mexican dessert, but whatever. The Flaniverse people. Yes, I guess it's somehow connected. I don't know if I'm feeling that, but yeah, it's great. Check it out. I'm almost done. I have enjoyed it thoroughly. I mean, there's jump scares, guys. Even after the first one of like the joke, but it's like there's still like, I was watching an episode last night and I gasped out
man,
loud.
You know, he may not do a lot, but you know that Hill House jump scare was no joke for somebody who hates him. Like,
yeah,
that's a Red Wedding like moment right there. Ah. Everybody was talking about that jump scare, so he knows how to do them.
Nothing like that. Yeah. Quite like that, but definitely, you know, they use all the tricks. So it's a very good story, and I'm curious to know how much of the book made it into the story.
How long are each episode?
Like 50.
Okay, so they're it's an hour sort of drama.
Basically an hour.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hello there. Welcome to the Fear Bias Emporium. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Mr. Harry Harbinger. It's a pleasure to eat you. Oh, do excuse me. To meet you. You will find that I have an extensive array of artifacts and antiques acquired over quite some time. Each one has a unique story. Tell me, which one speaks to you? You recall the old chap I spoke of earlier regarding the wheelbarrow. Turns out that wasn't the end of Ryan's terror, as his day had just begun. As nightfall hit, he had witnessed the state of humanity crippling right in front of him. Questioning whether the terror was the ones outside trying to get in, or the ones inside cavorting right next to him. This gas pump key determined a desired destiny or a devastating doom, with dependence on its disillusioned division.
So, Ryan, you thought your day was over. Oh, it was just beginning. Back. For another turn at the quiz, the survivor is at it again, but not at dawn, but at night. Welcome back, Ryan, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me back, gentlemen. And I'm looking at it like this. If I die, we could totally go like the Halloween reboot and ignore this episode, and I could come back again, and I will live.
Very good, very good. Well, folks, you guys are in for such a wonderful treat. Ryan has decided that Night of the Living Dead will be NC-17. So for the first time, we are going to play a harder game of surviving the night. I am so excited. And here are the differences. He will continue the first three questions without help due to the shock of the evening, but he will not be able to pass. There are no injured friends this time, so every question has to be answered correctly to survive the night.
You will not be able to pass and injure any of your friends. If you get it wrong, they die. Also, from questions 7 through 9, the group splits up. Therefore, for each question before it is asked, you will have to choose one of your surviving friends to answer the question. Meaning, that person, you can only use their ability on the question, and they are the ones that will die if you get it wrong. You cannot choose which one of your remaining friends goes, so choose wisely.
Oh, okay.
You will also hear more behind-the-scenes questions in this quiz, and thank our fool Nate for all of those questions.
You're welcome, and don't you worry, Ryan. If you die today, I'll remember. Just like I remember that the Halloween series has gone off the fucking rails. Never forget.
So it'll be interesting. Nate and I will see which type of question Ryan dies on if he doesn't survive. Will it be?
Boy, you really want me to die, guys. I could tell there's a theme here. It's just like, you're not surviving this. You're going to die. So accept your fate, and your friends are dead too.
I mean, hey, that's, you're doing night. You lived through dawn, but now it's nighttime. And we know how that movie ends, well, at least how the original ended. But this one, hey, this one ends a little differently, right? So there's hope.
I will be wearing a denim jacket and finding a group of hicks.
Country bumpkins.
All right, so let's meet Ryan's friends. First up is the devoted wife, Helen Cooper. Helen will be able to give you a hint should you need her. Next up is our default leader, and that's Ben. He may not have been chosen, but it just fell in his lap. He has the ability to change the question if you do not like the first question asked of you.
Okay.
Next is the nice idiot, Tom. Oh. Tom will be able to give you multiple choice should you need his assistance.
Is he going to call me my woman? My woman, Judy Rose.
Speaking of, next is the screamer. And that is Judy Rose. Judy Rose will assist you by giving you a 50-50 shot at answering the question correctly. And then finally is the final girl, the survivor, and that is Barbara. So Barbara will give you a second shot at answering the question before someone dies. Remember, because you are choosing your friend for questions 7 through 9, you will not be able to use Barbara for this because she's not around unless you choose her to answer the question. So, all right, we start off at 6 p.m. Here is your first question. And I made it a little easy. We're just going to get the blood flowing. It's a multiple choice question. Which one of these items was not used to nail down the doors and windows with wood? Was it a hammer, a crowbar, a meat tenderizer, and a wrench? Which one was not used to nail down the doors and windows?
You said meat tenderizer, wrench, crowbar, and hammer, right?
Correct.
Crowbar was not used.
Is that your final answer?
God, I hope so, yes.
Crowbar is correct.
Whew, I'm sweating like Whitney
Houston.
It's like
meat tenderizer, you know that's right. It's too weird.
I actually took note this time. I'm like, he is going to ask me about that tenderizer. I saw it a few times, and I'm like, I see you.
Just making sure you're paying attention. Okay, question number 2, 7 p.m. In the 3 months since their mom died, this is Johnny and Barbara, since that she passed away, how many times have they been to her grave, according to Johnny?
This is the fourth time we've been up here in the 3 months that she died. I saw her more than when she was alive. I'm going to... Four times.
That your final answer? Final answer. All right. Four times. Barbara, Jesus Christ. Yes, it has been four times. You are correct. This woman. I wonder how long that drive was. I mean, if this is down the street.
Oh, God.
Sure.
No, I think they... I don't know where I heard it, but I think years. It was like a long journey. I think hours.
Long journey.
All right. Question number three, 8 p.m. How did the producers persuade the owner of the house to use it for filming?
I want to say that they said they would give them a role in the film. And it might have been an old woman.
Is that your final answer?
Oh, my God. It's been a while since I listened to the commentary. And by that, I mean high school. So, yes, I'll go that. I'll go roll in the movie.
That is correct. Good job.
They offered
the owner a small role as a zombie. I'm wondering if it's the one with the baby.
Is it the old woman?
I don't know. She's the zombie that's walking away, and then she hears all the noise at the house and turns and goes back.
She's like, what are they doing to my house? They destroy my house in this movie.
Well, congratulations. You survived the shock of the evening, at least. You guys are now aware of your evening. You know what you need to do to survive. Let's see if you can keep this momentum.
Number three. That was a good, strong one for number three. Whew.
I'm going to slide in here and see. You make me sick, Ryan, acting like you don't know the answers to these questions. Oh, they're so hard. Whatever. Whatever.
Question number four.
Maybe. Probably not. Now, keep in mind, you can use your little pals now.
Thank you.
Question number four, 9 p.m. Name one of the three things used for inspiration by the special effects team. One of the three.
Okay, so for the zombie makeup, you mean? Or in general, just inspiration?
I got this off Wikipedia, and actually I got it off of IMDb, so hey, two sources.
Okay.
It just said inspiration, so I'm assuming inspiration for the makeup, inspiration for all the gore and
the effects death. That were special.
Yeah. Oh, the effects that were special.
Okay, so.
Precious.
This goes back to the commentary, the director's commentary, Tom Savini. I believe he said he used wartime photos, and then I think the other one was autopsy photos, possibly. But that's one or... I think he said he was in Vietnam and he studied, like, war photos. Damn.
And you know what? I'm going to need you to be specific with these. Because they're specific.
Really?
They are. But you need to be specific with how you say it. And I'm not trying to be a dick. It's just, you know, these were very specific.
Well, of course. Let's see. Let's see how I can word this. I want to say something about that wartime photo is standing out for me because I remember Tom Savini saying he was in war and it traumatized him. So maybe like mass. Oh, God, how do I? Man. It almost makes me want to use an ability, but I don't know if this is too early. This is too early for one. All right, let's go Judy Rose. I'm going to use Judy Rose for this.
Okay, Judy. All right. Is it either A, real autopsy, or B, cannibalism documentary?
I mean, damn. That cannibal was very specific. I want to say autopsy photos because that brings me back to my original, though, because I remembered it was some kind of crime photos. Autopsy photos, final answer.
Real autopsy is correct.
Very good. I was hoping you'd just go with that instead of complicating yourself trying to word stuff for Nate. You had it.
No, because you were saying wartime and you start talking about Vietnam. It's not the same. So yeah, they also talked about a Nazi death camp footage.
Nazi.
Yeah, so I was like, you are very close, but I was like, if you talk about a different war, or you just say wartime, I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I want you to tell me about Nazi death camp, because that was very...
I could see that. That is very specific.
No, I would agree with you, too, on that. That's why I was just like, just say real autopsy, damn.
Please, you like every time at the beginning. All right, so back to the documentary. Yeah, you...
The sad part is this is literally, again, high school. Ask me what I ate yesterday, though.
Well, that wasn't important to you.
No, it wasn't. You're right. Tom Savini, yes.
All right. Question 5, 10 p.m.
But that's zombie bangings.
Tom is wearing a cap with a sports team on it. Sports team's name. What team is it?
God, I want to say Evans City something. Or did they just mention Evans City? Or is Evans City just a city? God, it's a sports team.
It's a sports team's name on his hat.
I remember hearing something. One of the things on his shirt was something from a beer company that was in Dawn of the Dead, evidently. But I don't remember if it's Heaven City or Iron City. But then that's not a sports team. That's a beer company. Oh, boy. This is good. This is a good question.
See, Rob, you were worried that the behind the scenes would be difficult, but he stuck on a regular on-the-screen plot question.
I thought you would have gotten this one. I'm so shocked. I'm so shocked. Okay.
Oh, my God. I hope it's like the Evan City, like, Chiefs. Oh, God. No, it's not.
Sports?
Sports? Oh, my God.
His weakness. His kryptonite.
I hate to say this, but I might have to use another character. Oh, frick. Yeah, I hope Helen's hint is not going to be like... Evan City. All right, let me take Helen. Let me take Helen, please. I don't know what she's going to give me. She's probably going to give me the two that I'm thinking.
The hint is 5-finger discount.
Someone's stealing something. I feel like it's... The Chiefs, the Braves, the Philadelphia Braves. Oh my God, sports. This is my undoing. Sports killed me. Sports has killed me. I guess, dare I use another character and then pray that I survive the rest of the night? Oh God, Philadelphia Braves.
Okay.
Final answer,
Braves, final answer. So bad, Ryan. So bad. So bad that... It's incorrect. I don't know if the Braves are from Philadelphia. I'm not sure. I'm not like a sportsman.
Evan City!
And you should have went with Evan City. No, I don't.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
All right. Well.
Okay, so somebody has to die, and you've already used one ability. Well, actually, two.
You've used two.
Please, God, get rid of Judy.
Okay, so Judy... Yeah, used two. So Judy and Helen. So you're choosing Judy to die first.
Yes, please.
All right, Judy.
He's going in
on
story order.
Ooh. Wow. So, what was the answer? Because now I am titillated.
Well, this is NC-17.
We can't move on.
This is it. Yeah, you have to get this.
Oh my God. Why don't I know any sports? The Phillies. But that's Phillies. Phillies.
Phillies. Who are the Phillies?
Oh my God. 5-finger what? Discount is stealing.
Uh-huh.
Steelers? Is there Steelers? Is there Pennsylvania Steelers? No, I don't know. I don't know.
So funny. It's like, is there a Steelers here?
Steelers sounds like something like sports, though. And you said like 5-finger discount is stealing. Steelers. But I don't know what the hell the Steelers are. Are they the blank Steelers? The Philadelphia Steelers?
This isn't even my question, but this is fun.
I don't know Steelers, and if not, then I'm dead. We're killing everybody. We're killing Karen. I mean, whatever her name is. No, maybe Karen isn't in there.
Okay, so Steelers. Final answer.
Helen, yeah. Yes, please.
All right, great. Steelers.
Yo, what? It really is.
Is correct. I'm sorry. It is the Steelers, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh my God.
Yes. That's so funny.
You on this fictional sports team on his hat. I was like, what is happening today?
That's good. I mean, look how it got me through two abilities. So that was a good question. Damn.
Okay. Well, I'll do one more question, then I'm going to take a water break because that took a lot out of me.
I know. I feel like I've been through my own war.
Goodness. See how you like this one.
Look.
Question 6, 11 p.m. Hey, you're doing good. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Which future Emmy Award winner auditioned for the role of Ben?
Okay. I don't know if he's a future Emmy Award winner, but I know Ving Rhames and Lawrence Fishburne both came for an audition for Ben. And I know Ving Rhames didn't win any awards, so. And it's a what kind of an Emmy winner?
Yes.
Lawrence Fishburne, because I can't see Ving Rhames winning an award. There's probably 5 other actors too, but I just know Lawrence Fishburne did audition. Lawrence Fishburne. Final answer?
You're correct. See, Rob, look. See, he doesn't even care about my questions, and you were like, oh. He doesn't know the movie. Please, spare me. Look, next time you're on the show, Ryan, if Rob comes to me with any like, oh, he doesn't know the movie.
So I could have really fucked up your train of thought just now, but I just want to make it clear. Ving Rhames did win an award. It was not an Emmy, but he won an award for his role in Holiday Heart.
Oh my God, I love Holiday Heart too.
I'm sure you do. Yes, he won for that.
Did he win an Emmy?
No, I believe it was a Golden Globe.
They all won awards. Like, yeah. I had, like, in case you did multiple choice, they all won awards. They just only one of them, you know, won counted. I mean, Denzel also won an Emmy, but he didn't audition. That was just me being tricky.
I would have believed it too, especially at that time, the actors.
Yeah,
Bing did win one. So.
Oh my God, I love Holiday Heart.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that too, which again, nothing to do with horror, but I just got to say it because this is like one of the best like award acceptance speeches and gestures I have ever seen on TV.
Ooh.
He went up there and he basically gave his award to John Lemon for his 12 Angry Men role because they were both nominated in the same category. And John Lemon, my God, in 12 Angry Men, he was fantastic. And he went up there and he was like, John Lemon, come up here. This award is yours. Like, I'm giving it like you are amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Ving Rhames did this. The only time I think he's ever won. I don't know if he's won any other award.
And look at that. He selflessly gave his award
away. It was so amazing to witness. It was so great. That man is... Yeah.
I love that Ving Rhames isn't afraid to do things like that. Even in, was it Chuck and Larry he played it? Like a gay man. I love that. I love that about Ving.
Yeah. Oh, that was such... That was the biggest shock.
I have not seen that movie.
Oh my God, it's a movie.
Well,
it looks so offensive. I just refuse.
It is.
I'm not going to watch it.
It is.
Okay, we are at the new portion of our night. This has never been done before. So Ryan, here's how questions 7 through 9 will work.
Sports. It's going to be all sports questions.
Oh.
Sports. I thought you were just like, that's the answer. Sports.
You have four friends left. One of them has their ability used. So, for instance, you are now going to have to pick one person each to answer the next question.
Okay. Prior to the question?
Yes, prior to the question. If you decide to use Helen as your person, that means you are going into this with no ability. But you are using her in case you get it wrong and she dies first.
That's what I was thinking too. Maybe I'll use Helen, even though I don't have a friend, but at least if I get it wrong, she dies and I have a possibility.
Yeah. And then if you get it wrong, you will then move on to another friend of your choosing, but you can only use one at a time. So question seven, who would you like to use as the group splits up? Who are we concentrating on for the next scene? Is it Helen, Ben, Tom, or Barbara?
Helen. I'm going to go Helen.
All right. So Helen, here is your next question. No hint can be used for this question. Director Tom Savini and Patricia Tallman originally know each other from what?
College. Final answer.
Final answer, is it college? That is correct.
You make me sick.
Well, he just interviewed her, so I'm assuming that.
Yeah, I figured that it would come up, so I didn't feel too bad about this one. I was like, oh,
exactly.
If it's a Patricia Tallman, he'll probably have an idea.
Yeah, but you know what? Bless you both. And Helen survives another round. He gave her another life.
All right. Is the zombie still chasing her, or are we switching gears to another scene?
No, let's give Helen another go.
Wow. Just she's your lucky charm, I guess.
No hint, no ability. Okay, here it goes. Question number 8, 1 a.m. Cooper, Harry Cooper, calls the group lame brains and an additional 3 times what other name while he was in the cellar?
Yo-yos. You're all a bunch of yo-yos.
Is yo-yos your final answer?
Yes, because I think it's ridiculous.
Yo-yos is correct. Great job.
Helen really is my lucky charm. She's surviving.
Questions as this set here. Okay. Question number 9. One more time as the group splits up. Who are you using?
This is probably when I say Helen, I'm going to be like, damn, I shouldn't have. Helen. Helen.
Okay. No hints at all. This is all on you. What is the name on the house they reside in for most of the film?
I know this. M. Celeste for the Mary Celeste, a ship that disappeared with its crew and... evidently, they found, like, pots still cooking and stuff when they found the ship. So the M. Celeste. Damn it. Final answer.
Final answer. Okay. That is incorrect. It was B. Celeste. No, I'm playing. You got it right.
You bastard.
Good job. Wow. He survived the split up portion of the evening. Amazing.
This is my revenge against sports. I'm showing sports. I don't need you, sports. I don't need you.
Wow. All right, let's see how well you do on this one, because I know you're going to get it. I know you are. Question number 10, 3 a.m. You boarded up the house. People are still alive.
Yay.
It's amazing. Romero did not see much profit from the original film, prompting him to remake it. What kept his bank account sparse or empty the first go around? So basically, why didn't he see any profits from the first film?
Yes, great question. This is because the movie, 1968 movie, was not copyrighted under Night of the Living Dead. So I think it was Night of the Flesh, Ghouls, Flesh Eaters, or something like that. So no copyright on Night of the Living Dead, and now everyone can make damn remakes of it. So this was a way to get the copyright back. Final answer.
Ryan, you make me sick. And I just want to go on record and say that, okay? That's all I have going forward. Question number 11, 4 a.m. Here's your question. How many times do we hear the word zombie in this film?
Zero. Steelers.
Did you say Steelers?
Yeah.
Right. I hate you.
I want to say that they don't say it. It's just the unburied dead. So none? Zero? Final answer?
You're correct. God damn it. I mean, it was supposed to, that was what I thought of at the beginning, and it was a trick question, I hoped, but it was not. So, I salute you. You've done very well. You've made it all the way to 5 a.m. Question 12. According to IMDb, what exactly prompted the owner of Mercedes-Benz to replace the original vehicle that crashed into the tree?
The only thing I can remember, if this is it, again, I'm going back to the commentary from high school. I think Tom Savini said something about the... Oh, God. I don't know if the airbags go off or they don't go off when they hit the tree. It goes down a hill. I'm going to say the airbags don't go off. But if they went off, that would be a good thing. If they didn't go off, that would be a problem, right? So, oh boy. Airbags not going off. Final answer.
Congratulations, you bastard. You win. No big surprise. We knew it. Well, I knew
Ryan
it.
Ryan has survived his second trial. Wow. What was this shit about you not knowing any behind-the-scenes stuff?
I mean,
see, that was his little, like, he planted a thought in your brain, like, you know, Dumbledore with his pensieve, and he was like, oh, let me just do that. And then you came to me and was like, oh, don't be too hard. So I was like, oh, let me try to, like, write these questions in a appropriate way. But you know what? I should have just picked some of those other ones because there was some good shit.
Well,
let me, I was going to say, don't you, you're going to kill me, right, with a final scare. I was just going to say.
There is always a final scare, people. We have one more question.
I was scared because I don't know what's going on anymore.
All right, well. So here is the final scare. How many people from the group of seven were killed because of the undead?
Okay, I need a pen, excuse me.
The pen comes back.
Okay.
Because the pen is mightier than the sword.
So you are counting the daughter. So that was I thought maybe that would be a trick from me. You never know with these Rob questions. Okay, so there is seven there. Barbara does not die from anything. Ben dies of a gun bleeding out wound. Okay. Tom explodes. Judy explodes. So stupidly. Helen is killed by her daughter. That's a zombie attack. Harry is shot by Barbara. So wait, I'm sorry, Rob. You said how many inside die of a zombie injury?
I said how many... of the group of seven were killed because of the undead.
I'm going Helen and Sarah, the daughter. Sarah was bit by a zombie, became a zombie, killed her mother. So two out of seven.
Is that your final answer?
I feel like you're going to twist me with this daughter somehow. I'm trying to think of like the, she was bit before she was in the house. Two were killed by zombies. Related incidences.
Two out of seven is correct. Great
Yay!
Job. Great job. It was either going to be that or I was going to ask you, name the order in which they all died.
Ooh. Judy, Tom.
But how can you be sure they both blew up?
That's true. That's true. That's a double. That's a double whammy. Two for one at that point. And then Sarah had to die to kill Helen. So Sarah, Helen, Ben, Cooper.
Yeah, I believe that's the order. I think that Sarah was seen off of her door after the explosion. I think all of that happened in one sequence, and it did happen after the explosion. So great
with
job.
Her shuffle. Thank you so much. And literally, I did not know I knew so many behind the scenes. Like, the last time was high school. I remember before high school watching this freaking film commentary a few days before high school, and it's been in there for over 20 something years.
Just waiting.
Yeah, no, you did.
Just
really
waiting
good job.
For this very moment. I didn't know. I didn't know then, but I know now.
It just killed me that I was like, he seemed really going to die on the fourth question. I don't know. I don't. But you're right. That we should have saved that for the very that should have been the last question, apparently. That should have been it.
Yeah, I mean, that would have killed me.
That was the the finale, the grand finale.
Sports.
The question that we skipped, that I agonized over, 5 miles away was what nearest city?
Evan City!
Okay. At least now I know. That was, he definitely would have got it. But what gave me a giggle was Rob's hint, if you would have been able to use a hint. City of America's ass.
Evan City? Was that what it? City of America's ass.
Yep. Evan City. Well,
good job,
that's
Brian.
Great. You survived the dawn, and you have also survived the night. Will he be back for the actual
for the day?
Who knows?
For the day.
Who knows? But congratulations, you survived, and yeah. And an NC-17 one, too. That was fun. I liked it.
That was fun. That was good to see how it all works.
I had a blast as always, and I love that I got to survive again. I didn't want to die. I didn't want to come back and die.
No, you did so, really good. Well,
third time's the charm.
Yeah, thank you again for doing the show. We appreciate it. I hope all of you guys had fun with this quiz.
I loved it. Thank you.
Oh, really?
It is time for our bookend. The bitch really. And I won't lie, I don't have the strongest memory of this movie, but I have seen it, most of it, basically. I've seen the original, and I've seen most of the remake, and there are several similarities, you know, aside from Barbara being a totally different person. There's that one scene, and it's executed a little differently, but anyway, I don't remember her name. We'll call her Sally. Sally goes into the basement to check on her daughter. And, you know, this kid has not been doing well through the entire film. We know she's been bitten. It's not an ideal situation. She's not where you left her. Why is that? Oh, because she's up and about and she's dead and she wants to eat you. I don't know why they kept this in, but it's like, not a mother. I'm sure it's very hard to see your child turned into a monster, but I don't want to be eaten by my child. So I'm not going to sit there and let them, especially, bite my neck, where all my vitals are. So, bitch, really. I don't know. To try to survive. For me.
I believe her name was Helen. It was either Helen or Sarah. I know it's one of the two. The only thing I will say is, until we birth a child, we just won't get it. But from where we sit, bitch, fucking really. Like, I mean, but she, look, I can understand not even rehearsing the idea of killing your own child, but the fact that because you won't do it, you're just going to let her take you and endanger everyone else is a very bitch move. It's a very bitch move. And she had literally just given up life from that point, apparently. But like, yeah, the way that it was executed, bitch, fucking really.
I mean, I get it. Yes, she gave up. She, her child is dead. I get it. I get it. But I don't know. I don't know.
She wouldn't let her dog do that. It's right. like, come on, really? Your child is gone.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, whatever season that was, what was his name? Not the Reverend, or was that his name from Walking Dead?
He just
his daughter in a closet. Hey.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Oh God, I almost said Colonel.
Yeah, what?
I know you're Herschel.
Herschel.
Are you talking about Herschel?
Oh no, not Herschel. The one who ends up with an eye patch.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
Whatever he was.
He wasn't the Reverend, but I know who you're talking about, though.
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. No, it is the Reverend.
Is that his name? Is he the Reverend?
I believe so. I was like, did he get an eye patch? And I was like, I think he did lose an eye.
Yeah, like, he loses an eye.
Yeah. I want to say they called him Preacher, but I know that there is another separate show called Preacher, so maybe they just called him Rev or something. I can't remember.
I think it is Reverend. Yeah, I think it is. So, look, you don't have to, like, kill your zombie child. You just don't have to let them kill you. I think that's reasonable. That's all.
Well, with that being said, I hope you guys continue to enjoy October. We have another episode coming up that will drop not on Tuesday, but a day before. We want to post it on Halloween just in case those who have decided not to go out want to stay in and listen to a podcast, or maybe this episode will hype you up to enjoy your evening. But let's go out with a bang. We're going to do the season finale of season 3 on Halloween.
Yeah. Or just listen to it while you're getting dressed to go. You can have it all. You can have it all, guys.
Exactly. All right. Well, until next episode, this has been Giant Scare. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back.
Bye.